Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
All across the world, people stop and wonder what makes America so unique and how is my story, a kid born in the Deep South in the 1960s, how do I become the Congress member for the city where the Civil War started?
This is Focus on the Family Minute with U.S. Senator Tim Scott.
And how do I become a United States Senator for the state that really helped during the Civil War times? The answer is simple. It's the grace of God and the evolution of the Southern heart. It is on display everywhere you are willing to look that God's infinite wisdom is deposited in the hearts and minds of men and women. And when we respond to his call, the most remarkable things happen.
More encouragement from Senator Tim Scott at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Well, and I remain very, was I not on? This is Susanna Luthi with Free Talk California. I'm sorry, there was some mix up with the mics, but we're here. I wanted to say that I'm sorry I was out last week. I was sick. However, we are going to unpack everything that happened with the primary elections almost 2 weeks ago. Today, my guest is Elizabeth Barcahana from LA's GOP, and she is going to just help us get a sense of what the heck happened in Los Angeles with Spencer Pratt's mayoral campaign and race. And we're going to play a little clip before she comes on of U.S. Attorney Bill Assaley talking about the federal investigations into potential voter fraud in LA. I think anyone with eyes watching that race knows that something fishy went on. And evidence is piling up. How widespread it could be, we don't know, but evidence is piling up that people were paying homeless people to vote. Homeless people are talking about being exploited in that way. All of a sudden, all this money going to boost homelessness numbers makes sense, doesn't it? So we will talk about all that and more. First of all, I do want to start with some good news of the June 2nd primaries. And that is Sonia Shaw. For me, she was really the bright spot. She's been on the show, as you probably remember. She is the school board president at Chino Valley. That's in Riverside County. She was the first to lead her board to ban teacher and school secrecy of around transitioning children without their parents' knowledge. This made her a top target of Governor Gavin Newsom and Attorney General Rob Bonta. She has fought them off, stayed strong, really love her as a person, and she just overwhelmingly took off in that state superintendent race. So thanks to all of you who were voting for her. She was one of the early, she might have been the first statewide candidate to get called as one of the candidates who would advance. She and her now single opponent, Richard Barrera, who is also a school board president, but he is in San Diego. He's the board president of San Diego Unified School Board. And is very left-wing, kind of the opposite of everything that Sonia stands for. She and he raced past the other candidates, which included state legislators such as Al Marazzucci. He was someone I was really scared of as potentially winning because he's been doing the bidding of the teachers' unions for so many years as the head of the education committee in the state assembly. But he ended up, you know, way, way, way behind. So it's Sonia and Richard Barrera, Sonia Shaw, Richard Barrera. At the current count, Sonia has 1.5 million votes compared to Richard Barrera, who has 1.3 million votes. Of course, most of the people they defeated were Democratic candidates who were probably leeching votes off of him. So it is going to be a fight. That said, Sonia won LA County and she won San Diego County, where Richard Barrera is the school board president. So there you go. She, I think, has a really good chance. So that was great news. And interestingly enough, this year will be the first since 1982 that the state superintendent elected by Californians was not a state senator, a state legislator, I mean. So apparently voters really wanted someone who did not come from Sacramento. All right, more good news. One of the top targets of Prop 50 was Kevin Kiley. Kevin Kiley has long been a thorn in the side of Governor Newsom since the time he was a legislator in the state assembly. Let me just say, he did not make any friends there. And then he ran for Congress. And in Congress, he has been an even bigger thorn in Newsom's side because he's actually, being in the majority party, he's been able to do some stuff to target Newsom. So he led a bill to stop the rampant fraud in California's community colleges. I don't know if you know this, but the state has sent millions of our taxpayer dollars in aid, financial aid, to 1.2 million ghost students which literally do not exist, bad actors who are taking community college financial aid packages and not even going. And they actually represent 1/3 of all applicants to our community colleges. Yes. No one in the administration caught that. So there you go. He also introduced an election integrity bill to require that all votes be tallied on election day, which we know is getting more and more impossible as every post-2020 California election goes by. The counts seem to get worse and worse. And he authored a resolution to overturn Newsom's gas car ban. As you know, we're not supposed to buy any gas cars after 2035. And he also led the charge to cut off the federal funding for our high-speed rail boondoggle, which Newsom has remained committed to and just awarded a big contract to a top ally. So Prop 50 was supposed to wipe out Kevin Kiley. After some thought, Kevin Kiley decided to run for that seat anyway, but as an independent. He decided to eschew the Republican label and try to run that way. Well, who should jump into that race thinking it would be an easy win? But one of every mother I know, their nemesis, whether they know it or not. This nemesis is Richard Pan. He was the state senator who eliminated the religious exemption, or pretty much any exemption, for vaccines for kids to go to school, public or private school. He was a doctor. This was the hill he wanted to die on. And he termed out of the state legislature, went to lobby for the California Medical Association, or was it the American Medical Association? One of the big swampy associations. And then he jumped into this race, and I think everyone who was following it thought, oh no. Well, he came in second. He's, you know, more than 1,000 votes behind Kevin Kiley. Kevin Kiley not only came in first, but was the first to be announced that he would advance to the general election. And then what's good news is that the third place, and for a while it looked like Richard Pan was actually going to get locked out of this race, which would have been even better. But the third place with 30-some thousand votes was a Republican. So the Republican votes, if they all go to Kevin Kiley, he could easily win that seat in a big blow to Newsom, because Newsom's been after Kevin Kiley for a while. So that was good news. In another seat that was targeted by Prop 50, in Northern California, way north, obviously we know Redding is very conservative, all that area. Well, they redrew those maps to include Chico, a liberal college town. And the whole point of that was for the current Democratic state Senate president, Mark McGuire, to be able to go to Congress. Well, James Gallagher, who is, well, he was the leader for the Republicans in the state assembly, he won that seat. He won the remainder of the term for former Representative Doug LaMalfa, who died very suddenly just around the time Prop 50 was passed. And they had to run a special election to fulfill his seat for the rest of the term. And James Gallagher won that easily. So we will see, and Mark McGuire lost. He was obviously also running for that special election seat. However, there were other Democrats in that race. So we will see if Gallagher is able to hold on to that seat. But in any case, at least he got to keep the seat for now, for a few more months. So anyway, Prop 50 did not go exactly how Newsom thought it would. All right, now we get to the bad news. There is a lot of bad news, but we'll start with one that is very important for all of us, a race that is very important for all of us, and that is the state insurance commissioner, Stacey Korsgaden, who's actually a Slo County resident. She was the top Republican, vote-getting Republican, and she came in third, unfortunately, with 15.7% of the vote. And unfortunately, the top vote getter right now is Jane Kim, who is so socialist and far left, she was too progressive even for San Francisco to send to the state Senate. So it's kind of commie principles have led to the implosion of California's insurance market, and she is apparently the top choice to get that office. Not a big fan of the second runner-up, who's a Democratic state legislator named Ben Allen. He is considerably further behind. He was 19.3% of the vote at last count, compared to her 27% of the vote. But that's one to watch. Do not sit out these less glamorous statewide races, because these offices have a lot of control over our lives, and we can't just forget about that. So that was very disappointing. But the biggest disappointment of the night, or actually 5 days later because of the vote counting, was the Los Angeles election. I was so excited and just captivated by the Los Angeles mayoral election, because Spencer Pratt was just seemed to be dominating. And I know I'm practical enough to know that LA is a very deep blue city, and that the whole vote harvesting game is squarely in the Democrats' court. Republicans don't even do it. But I just thought, after those fires, which were happened because of state negligence, allegedly, I think that will be proved in court with the lawsuits that are moving forward. They're refusing to exempt Los Angeles or the state of California from avoiding their responsibilities, which they've been trying to do. After those fires, and then not only that, but the sheer incompetence of Karen Bass in the wake of the fires, her startlingly bad persona and response. She just wasn't even able to be a good politician, never mind what she couldn't do administratively and what she's failed to do to support Angelenos, has not let them rebuild their houses. It's just done everything she can to mess with them even more, it seems. After all of that, that she had the hubris to run, and that anyone voted for her. It's just really shocking. So anyway, Spencer Pratt's campaign was very exciting. The other Democrat jumping in to challenge Bass from the left is Nithya Raman, who is a Democratic socialist. Her allegiance is to the Democratic Socialist Party, and their very terrifying agenda of eliminating private property, etc., not to her constituents. She lost her own district, which I used to live in. It's around Los Feliz and Silver Lake in LA. It was the cool hip area for a while. I don't know if it still is. But she lost that district and then somehow mysteriously kept getting tens of thousands of ballots, pushing her ever higher on the roster as Spencer Pratt remained about the same. Karen Bass remained about the same. Everyone notes that statistically, this seems very, very improbable, if not impossible. So that said, everyone was waiting for Spencer Pratt to speak, and finally he did. Let's listen.
Now that the campaign portion of my mission to save Los Angeles is coming to a close and I'm moving on to the next, more interesting phase, listen, I've spent a lot of time slaying everybody. I've ridiculed everyone on the roster. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take the chance to apologize
to absolutely nobody.
You think you can get rid of me that easily? I know a lot of dim-witted jerks thought I was in this for a grift, that I was going to roll up and leave town if I didn't get into City Hall.
It's just not fair.
Hey, morons, I didn't get in this for political power. I got in this to expose this corrupt machine, and nothing has changed. You enjoy your worthless meetings in City Hall.
Nithya, you have all this information. You're running for mayor. Show what you're really about, or get the fuck out of the race.
I want to be lighting you up every single day, and now I don't have to worry about offending CNN viewers. I don't have a campaign laws hamstringing me now. It's war. It's 0 hour for Los Angeles. Angelenos are now stuck with two morons responsible for all their problems, and they have to choose between dumb and dumber. That's not a choice. That's the machine protecting the machine. And now every problem that plagues Los Angeles because of these two corrupt communists is going to accelerate. And the city will tumble headlong into the abyss. You have no idea how many major developers, hoteliers, business owners, entrepreneurs have been texting me saying they're packing up and leaving town. More of your favorite restaurants will be shuttering. That means less tax revenue. That means the city has to cut services. More potholes, less firefighters, less police patrols, more criminals, more drug addicts terrorizing your communities.
And we
haven't ended it. You have no idea how bad things are about to get for this city. Look at this place already. Weeds growing from every crack and crevice. Graffiti over every square inch of public space. Garbage, drugs, feces, burned up dogs, burned down towns, abandoned storefronts. This city is a mess, and you're about to reward the arsonist who torched a place with four more years of destruction?
I know he's very bitter.
My goal hasn't changed. I've been laser focused on stopping these commie animals, and I will stop them. If you think we uncovered a lot of fraud and evil in the campaign, just wait. We have some recordings of one of your exalted candidates doing and saying something that would make her resign in shame. I was saving it for the general election. Go ahead and pick your demon, certify your choice, and then you get to see it. So Karen Nithia, ask yourself, is it possible that one of your employees may have a recording of you doing or saying something that would force you to resign in disgrace? Hope you sleep well at night over the next 5 months, because you know who hasn't slept well at all for the last 17 months? My mom.
Yes, anyway, that was an amazing video and really cheered me up after the just gutting results that we started seeing trickling in after the election. Moreover, in other good news, always look at the positive. A U.S. Attorney Bill Assaley, he used to be in the state assembly. He knows where a lot of bodies are buried. He just did an interview yesterday with KCRA about the fraud, alleged voter fraud that he is investigating with all the force of the federal government. Let's take a listen.
There's a few things going on. One thing is, you know, there's a lot of talk in the media that there's no evidence of voter fraud. So we just wanted to be very clear about that, that there is evidence. And in fact, we charged a case just last month of an individual who was paying homeless people to register to vote with fictitious information. So that's not a theory. There is evidence of voter fraud. And what I've said is that we have other similar multiple investigations that are ongoing. Under long-standing DOJ rules, we can't discuss the specifics of any investigation.
So yes, investigations are ongoing. That was Bill Assaley from the U.S. Attorney's Office for California. Anyway, stay with us. We'll be right back to really unpack what happened in Los Angeles with Elizabeth Barcahana from the LA's GOP. GOP campaign, or well, GOP office in LA, and she's also a California delegate. So we will talk to her, learn more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. President Trump says the U.S. and Iran struck a ceasefire deal.
The main thing is that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. They fully agreed to that with strong policing powers, and they won't have a nuclear weapon, which is what it was all about.
The president speaking at the G7 summit in Geneva. The tentative agreement will also reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Other details have yet to be fully detailed. The UK announcing a social media ban for children under 16.
It would include, we understand, blocking live streaming and communication with strangers for users under the age of 16. Government is also considering overnight curfews and measures to limit infinite scrolling for minors. Now, critics argue that blanket bans are ineffective.
Fox's Ashley Webster, the ban could take effect as early as next year. America is listening to Fox News.
Hi, it's Mimi at A-Town Diner. I'm here to tell you we're bringing back the old. That's what we've done here at A-Town Diner in Atascadero. We brought back the Early Bird Special for you early risers. Our delicious dinner menu starts at 4 o'clock daily, and we have a homemade soup of the day. We have also added some new. You can now order your to-go orders online at atowndiner.com. We offer discounts to active and retired military. Have a nonprofit or youth group fundraiser? Come see us. We are here for the community at A-Town Diner in Atascadero.
Hello and welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and joining me from Los Angeles is Elizabeth Barcahana. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Susanna. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming back. So much to ask you. So for all our listeners, there is one point during the very slow vote count where Rahman was just jumping by tens of thousands of votes with every vote count release. And I text Elizabeth saying, is there any hope? And she said, always. So thank you for that, because a few days later, we had that amazing Spencer Pratt video saying he is not going anywhere. So anyway, can you tell us about the post-election mood in LA? What's going on there?
Yeah, well, they're still counting. So we don't have final totals, but it looks like overall things did not go as expected. I think even the most, you know, I've been doing this for 6 years. This is my, I think, ninth election. Where I've been kind of at, on the ground level, and every cycle I learn more and become more experienced. But even people more experienced than me, we were all kind of on the same page that we expected Spencer to get into the runoff in the mayoral race. We knew it was a long shot. We never expected him to finish first. We never, you know, we expected it to be a hard-fought result, but we expected the result to be that he would be in the runoff, particularly because Rahman basically stopped campaigning. She wasn't, you know, she did not perform well in the debate. She canceled her appearance in the next debate. She was falling flat with fundraising. And so, you know, what you're seeing in the public discourse right now is people trying to make sense of something that they did not expect and seems to be different than what we've seen in past elections.
What is your, so I just played a clip of Bill Assaley talking about how he has multiple investigations going on. They're close to charging some cases, and there have been reporters really hitting the ground talking to people living on the streets in Skid Row who say they've been paid to register to vote. Where is all, are everyday Angelenos kind of aware of this going on? And if so, what's the view? I mean, is it still too dicey socially to question the election integrity, or people?
I think that that people have PTSD from January 6th, and so there's a knee-jerk reaction to shut down any type of questioning of our election results, and that's understandable, but also convenient for the Democrats who have control here. And you know, your question was, are everyday Angelenos aware of this? No. They are not. People are not aware that how easy it is to register to vote in California. And when Bill Assaley was in the Assembly, he was one of our best fighters trying to expose the fact that you can register to vote without proving citizenship, that you can use things like a gym membership ID to prove who you are, which is not government issued, which is, you know, people use different names within their legal name, for example, for those kinds of things. So there are people out there that get, you know, multiple ballots under different names sent to different addresses, and there is no system in place to verify or stop that from happening. And so what this is exposing, beyond the fact that, yes, NGOs that provide services to people like illegal immigrants, homelessness, and other, you know, low-income people are taking advantage of them. They are exploiting them, and they are taking control of their ballots. We know this is happening.
Yes.
They're taking control of their ballots and basically voting for them, telling them, I know what's in your best interest. You can trust me. And they should not be trusted, because this is all a money-making grift, and they are profiting off of, you know, not only the government contracts, but like the people that they're supposed to be providing services to. And what Asili keeps saying is we know this is happening because we have convictions for it. So then the talking point on the Democrat side becomes, well, it's not widespread. And the answer is, we don't know how widespread it is because the system is not designed to control for it. And it's also designed to conceal or destroy what would be the evidence of it after the fact. And so they keep pushing, you know, once you get the election result, they want to hold on to it. And, of course, everybody who is victorious in the election result would be against their self-interest to question it, right? So, like, even people that won, they don't want to call the result into question because then that questions their own, their own win. So it's like this very difficult situation that we're in where it's very difficult to vote your way out of it. And second of all, it's very difficult to prove it. And that's intentional.
Well, one of the most striking loopholes in our election law is the fact that you can hand write the date where you supposedly cast your ballot if you need to show that you cast it by election day. Don't even need an official postmark. And
that's right.
And I mean, I have a few things to say. I mean, one, I remember when the widespread mail everyone your vote was passed. Lorena Gonzalez, who used to be a state legislator, a very powerful one, she is now the head of Labor Fed, a very powerful union, California Labor Fed. Her husband was very high in San Diego politics and was considered to be a rising star. And then he was taken down by a sexual harassment lawsuit. And she's kind of kept a lower profile since. But she, if she didn't lead the push for universal ballot mailing, she was very instrumental in it. And I remember her touting the fact that how easy it made it to vote. And at the same time, it seems to be more and more in your face every time I interact with any state agency, no matter what I'm doing, it can have nothing to do. Well, none of it has to do with voting, but any DMV visit, any interaction at all, I get a push to register to vote again. And
even in the emergency room.
Yes, it's everywhere. And again, you don't have to say anything. It's all just self-attestation. Yes, I am a resident in California. Yes, I'm a citizen. And you know, no one's ever checking up on that. I've never gotten anyone calling me saying, "Are you really a citizen? Is this really your name?" And then on top of that, my husband and I are on our family ranch. There have been random, different people who have rented. And up until this year, we were getting ballots for people who hadn't set foot on the ranch in years and years and years. One guy who lives overseas now, we got 3 ballots for his name and had to basically like block all mail from coming. So those ballots probably still exist. I don't know if he ever took his name off the voter rolls. We just blocked the mail from coming to our house anymore. So there's so many ballots rolling around that don't belong to anyone.
So what you mentioned was the DMV, so that's motor voter. And then the other issue is that California gives driver's license to illegal aliens. And so when they're going through the process of getting their ID, they are also, enrolled, like automatically being registered to vote.
Yes.
And they have to affirmatively, not register. And some of them don't know what don't know what that means or what that is. Even American citizens like accidentally mess up this process all the time. And you're relying on the DMV? Like what? when did the DMV ever do something, reliable, especially when it comes to something so sacred as the right to vote? And when you have people illegally voting, that disenfranchises the legal votes, nothing is more clear than that. So, and the other thing is, like, they keep saying, oh, we have these, you know, safeguards in place. Well, going back to the driver's license and registering at the DMV, when New Jersey's voter rolls got audited, they discovered that they had illegal aliens on their voter rolls, and the illegals were trying to unregister themselves to vote and couldn't. It's
wow.
The same thing with, like, with people who move out of state or who move, even just move to a different house or apartment. It's very difficult, actually, to, you know, people report this all the time, that they've tried to change their address and still their ballot goes to their old address, or they get two ballots, one to the old address, one to the new. And it's the same thing with, you know, signature verification. There are people who, after the fact, are trying to cure their ballots and their signatures get rejected 2-3 times, and they're not able to cure the ballots. And so, you know, voter ID would solve a lot of these problems. We're going to have voter ID on the ballot in November. It has, like, approximately 70% support from the people of the state of California. So it's coming directly to the voters to vote on. And what, you know, when you say that, when I told you there's always hope, what we hope will be exposed from what happened in this election, in L.A. in particular, remember, like, 25% of California's electorate comes from L.A. County. And this wasn't only an issue in L.A. It was an issue in other parts of the country. Measure ER was a tax measure to raise the sales tax here. And that tracked, you know, that result was very close. It was winning on election night, and the difference in ballots tracked the same way that Nitya did. And what we kind of suspect may have happened is actually Nitya herself didn't expect to win. She basically rode the coattails of Measure ER, of this tax measure, and she just was a beneficiary of the organizations behind that. That's a possible explanation. And what, you know, what I let's say you're a person that doesn't believe that there's this much widespread fraud. A little bit of fraud, okay, is existing. We know that because we have convictions. We have, you know, ways of registering and voting where that are fraudulent, that nobody is finding or checking. There is no evidence for it. There is no person watching for it or agency watching for it. And so, you know, when you're so invested, when you're an activist so invested in the outcome, it's very easy to play fast and loose with these laws and not get caught doing it. If you know that some ballots are fraudulent, even if it's an amount that doesn't necessarily affect every outcome, which, by the way, some races are decided by less than 10 votes or less than 20 votes, so it definitely does affect the outcome in certain local races. But even if, putting all of that aside, a little bit exists and you can't tell which ballots are which, that because of the way the system is structured. So everybody should support, you know, a structure that protects everybody's vote, everybody's legal vote. And right now what we have in California, nobody can say for sure.
No. With Prop 50, my husband's ballot was sent back, or not, it was not processed because of they said his signature didn't match what was on file, but he wasn't given the opportunity to cure it until too late. So his vote for Prop 50 wasn't counted. And it does, when shenanigans like what has been proved has happened in the Spencer Pratt mayoral election, the LA election, it makes people feel like the process is so rigged. And mm-hmm. I think there's been so much national attention on this the last few days, especially the last week, basically saying, you know, California, you already lost because too many, when voters don't trust the system, you do mm-hmm. not have, you can't have fair elections anymore. It's just,
that's another really great point. You know, the scope of the impact is measured beyond the election result, meaning you don't know how many voters you suppressed by this system that feels so unfair and where fraud exists in it, that suppresses the vote in and of itself. And that impact is not really measurable, but we know there is one. So it goes beyond, you know, one election and what Nithya Raman's margin of victory was. It's way beyond that.
Yes, yes. The other comment I do want to make on the whole PTSD over January 6th, and we were about to break for commercials, but didn't anyone else besides me watch those mafia documentaries on A&E when I was young about how in Chicago the elections were always rigged because of dead people voting for the mafia-backed candidates? It's not like this is anything new. So anyway, we will keep talking about this. We're talking with Elizabeth Barcahana from LA about the LA elections and their aftermath. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Free Talk California. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages kicking off the new trading week in rally mode, with the Dow notching its 16th record close of the year as oil prices fell on U.S.-Iran deal hopes. Tumbling oil prices are easing inflation concerns, with West Texas Intermediate crude settling at around $81 a barrel. Tech was the best performing sector, with chipmakers leading the charge while energy lagged. The tech-heavy Nasdaq posting its best day since late March. Airline stocks took off as oil prices tumbled, with United among the biggest gainers and its stock jumping over 4% for a fresh record close. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, American Express, and Goldman Sachs. The Dow decliners, Chevron, IBM, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow rising 469 points, the Nasdaq higher by 795, S&P 500 up 123. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You're probably listening to this in your car, so let me ask you. Would you drive without insurance? Of course not. So why is your retirement portfolio unprotected? Gold is portfolio insurance. It helps de-risk your savings when markets get unpredictable. Noble Gold Investments has helped thousands of Americans do exactly that, with no high-pressure sales and thousands of five-star reviews. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult with your tax or financial professional before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work,
so nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we're speaking with Elizabeth Barcahana in Los Angeles. So, all right, the election is passed. Spencer Pratt released that amazing video saying that he's not yet begun to fight. What has been the reaction to that video? Has that gone viral? You know, I was certainly captivated by all his pre-election videos, and I don't know how much they're tracking in Los Angeles itself, but what's your thought about that video? What do you expect him to do next?
Yeah, I thought the video was a very appropriate tone. It was basically, you know, his concession that, you know, that the election is over and we're moving on to phase three, which is now continuing to expose what has been going on, which is what he had been doing for a year before he, you know, after the fires in January 2025. That was the reason why he was positioned to run for mayor in the first place, because he was, you know, he had a big platform. Rick Caruso was the other major player in this space. It was also, you know, impacted by the fires. But Caruso was much more, you know, conciliatory towards Bass, and has, in my opinion, a conflict of interest, and also isn't as talented of a politician as Spencer Pratt has proven to be. And I think what he's taught other Republicans throughout the nation, not just locally, how to handle the media, how to communicate to the base, how to bring other voters in on these issues like public safety that should be nonpartisan. So I think his role has been enormous, even before he ran for mayor, but during the campaign was just exemplary.
Yes, he was so
strategic from a strategic point of view. I think if he had more time, then, you know, the money that came in towards the end of the campaign. Remember, you know, you got to understand the whole history here. Everyone thought Rick Caruso was going to run for mayor. He had a camp, you know, he had a committee to explore running for mayor and running for governor, and he basically froze the field from Bass's right for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Until he announced that he wasn't going to run for either. I think that was one of the worst things that happened to Los Angeles, politically speaking, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when Spencer was like, well, if you're not going to do it, I guess I'm going to do it, you know, if not me, then who? He stepped up to the plate, and that deserves praise and gratitude from the voters in L.A., because nobody else was going to do it, and we were going to have Bass as mayor another 4 years. At least somebody gave her a fight.
Yes, I still can't believe she had any votes because of after how she managed the fire and its aftermath. I'm still so shocked. Yes.
She's an incumbent.
But it just shows how disenfranchised the L.A. voters feel, I don't know, disinterested in what happens on the politics scene, because if everyone who was at least a little fired up had, no pun intended, had come out to vote, I do think Spencer would have won.
Yeah, well, turnout was an issue, and it's something that I talk about all the time. I'm not talking about it right now because it's a little sensitive, but, you know, we have 327,000 Republicans in the city of LA, and, you know, we had almost 200,000 people who didn't vote, and we could have not only could we have covered the spread and gotten him into a runoff, but we probably could have had him win the whole thing if everybody showed up, but they don't.
Mm. Yeah,
and that's a separate issue. You know, one is, you know, inspiring people to get off the couch and participate, and the other is actually, you know, building a ground game here to compete with theirs. And I think, again, like what I was saying, if he had a little bit more time, Spencer would have attracted a lot of resources into the city of LA to building up that ground game going into November. That's another thing that we lost by him not making it into the runoff.
Yes. Well, I will say, as a former reporter, he really was able, Spencer, that is, was really able to keep the fire in the public eye after the media was ready to move on and wanted to move on.
Yeah.
And his legal fight has done wonders in uncovering really damning evidence against the state, against the city, against Bass. And yes. I think it is convenient I think the California Supreme Court just denied the state and the city the immunity they requested, because they're trying to argue that they couldn't be responsible, or they couldn't be liable even if they were responsible, I think was their argument, which was just crazy. And now the lawsuit's going to move into discovery. So he is still very well positioned to do a lot of exposure of incompetence and corruption. And then this was very juicy. He said, this was in the California Post either today or yesterday, he said he is teaming up with Karen Bass's brother, because Karen Bass's brother also lost his home in the Palisades fire. And he also is suing the city of Los Angeles, where his sister is in charge. Do you have any insight into that story?
Well, the lawsuit against the city is basically like I'm pretty sure it's a class action, or at least
right.
It's a coordinated action. And so the brother is one of the plaintiffs, but I am confused about why that's coming out right now, because I believe that his claim was filed before the election. So I'm kind of annoyed that that didn't come out when it happened in May, but be that as it may, you know, yes. He is also a victim of his sister, unfortunately.
So is the lawsuit going to be the thing that takes the Democratic machine down or hurts it? Or do you think that these investigations and potentially coming indictments from the DOJ led by Bill Assaley, the U.S. Attorney for California, are going to do anything meaningful? What's your sense?
Okay, so now at this point, anything in opposition to Bass is in Rahman's favor. And I have been of the opinion since Rahman declared that she was running, that if the runoff is going to be between Bass and Rahman, Rahman will win. So all of this stuff, and yes, I do think that much more will be exposed through these lawsuits, and it should be, but I think the reaction from the public is going to be, okay, well, we have to vote for the alternative candidate, and the alternative candidate is the socialist.
Yes, who's loyal to the DSA.
It's a mirror of New York now at this point. You know, we weren't, up until now, we were not in such a analogous situation, because we had more public awareness. We had an incumbent who was strong, whereas in New York, the incumbent was weak. You know, Cuomo had already lost to Mamdani, so whatever strategist decided after the Democrat primary that they should be going, backing Cuomo instead of backing Eric Adams, it should never work in politics again, because that decision led to New York falling to an Islamo-Marxist. And now, you know, we have that created a blueprint now, and we have the same thing happening in LA. And this is also how Nitya came into her city council seat. She challenged, they find a weak Democrat and they run against them in districts where, like her council district, where the voters are looking for any alternative. And there she is. They don't know what she really stands for. They just know she's the change candidate.
No, and
even though what we've been saying is she's not the change candidate, she's also an incumbent. She's also responsible as a city councilman for these policies. In a lot of ways, the council members are like mini mayors here in LA. They have a lot of power. Actually, in some ways, more power than the mayor.
Right.
So. It's six of one, half dozen of the other, but it's really establishment versus progressive machine. Those are the choices in LA.
Do you think that Nitya could be the one implicated in the video that Spencer claims to have? Or is there?
I don't know what that is. I love Spencer, but I don't like teasers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what he's got up his sleeve.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, Elizabeth, for coming on, and thanks all of you for listening. This is Free Talk California. We will be back next week. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.